When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So the Lakers playoff run is over and now the long off season awaits. But that doesn't mean that your NBA playoff fun has to end, thanks to the Autograph app. On the Autograph app, all of your favorite sports content, sports articles, videos, podcasts, including yours truly, can be found in one place. And the more you read, listen, like, comment, and engage with this content, like you normally do, the more fans coins you'll earn, which you can then parlay into some pretty sweet sports prizes like $24 playoff tickets or $2 signed jerseys. Also, throughout the NBA playoffs, Autograph will continue to drop awesome rewards for fans, including 25% off Lakers merchandise. So all you need to do is download the Autograph app, check the description box of this episode, click the link, use the code LITLEGACY. All you need to do is sign up, create an account, and start fandoming away. Make sure to check the rewards tab to see all of the cool rewards Autograph will continue to drop throughout the NBA playoffs this year. And yeah, get rewarded for your fandom today on Autograph. All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where Hamilton, more like Hamil Dunn, because the Lakers just got their hands out their pockets and threw their last coach into the hamper. The marathon is over. The lessons and wisdoms are done. Darvin Ham is no longer the Lakers head coach, and now the Lakers' new head coaching search begins. Before we get into the candidates and what we're looking for in the next Lakers head coach, Tommy, how are you feeling about today's news? I am your host, Jonathan Hernandez, by the way, and I am joined by my co-host, Tommy Alexander. That was all very backwards because we're doing this on the fly. We didn't expect to record, but Darvin Ham got canned, and here we are. How are you feeling about the expired deli, Tommy?
It sort of felt like we were headed this way for a while. So I'm like happy. I'm not that surprised. I think I'm losing track of who was the last coach we fired. I think I was like, Vogel. You know, not, yeah, Vogel. I guess I wasn't quite as surprised with Vogel because we had such a horrible season. And this season, you know, I basically thought if we don't make it, I thought for sure if we got swept, Ham would be fired. And so we won one game, but we looked pretty bad. I guess it's not really that surprising. But, you know, excitement kind of tempered with nervousness because it's not like this organization has a history of, you know, replacing head coaches with better head coaches. So.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. We saw this coming. We're not going to relitigate everything that Darvin Ham did wrong. You can pretty much just listen to our podcast. We covered that on a almost weekly basis for the whole season. And, you know, Darvin Ham had a tough job. We'll keep it a buck. We'll keep it 100. He had a tough job. first-time head coach trying to wrangle up LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and he didn't have a good start to his job with Russell Westbrook still being on the roster. So obviously there are a lot of caveats that you can place upon Darvin Ham's tenure, and you can empathize with what he had to deal with. He did help lead the Lakers to the Western Conference Finals last year. But I think as these seasons have gone on and we've seen him with more of these players, last offseason's banner theme was continuity and just how he handled sort of adversity. And I think it became clear that, you know, Darvin Ham is, I don't know, at his best, an okay, mediocre coach, but a world-class organization like the Lakers, they need better than a mediocre coach. And I know right now the non-Lakers media is coming out of the woodwork again, Tommy, talking about how here the Lakers are, you know, scapegoating the coach once again. I'm sure it was Darvin Ham's fault that they drafted Jalen Hood-Schifino and picked D'Angelo Russell over Mike Conley and all this crap, right?
Bill Simmons.
I'm talking about Bill Simmons and the like. So I feel like when Frank Vogel got fired, would you agree with me that his firing felt more like, I blame that season more on the roster than the coach. Okay, the coach didn't, Vogel did not help himself, but the roster was dog shit. We all know that. We had to rely on was it a rookie, Austin Reeves? I think so, right?
Yeah.
We had to rely on a rookie Austin Reeves. An undrafted rookie Austin Reeves to even make us competitive and give us a shot to try and make the playoffs, which we didn't even make because we had Russell Westbrook on our roster. That was the Carmelo Anthony, Trevor Ariza, you know, Dwight Howard year. If there was ever any coach who could complain that it wasn't my fault, it was probably Frank Vogel, even though in retrospect, you probably still fire Frank Vogel because of, I guess, how he's done with the Phoenix Suns. It doesn't look like he is able to connect with his players as well. But I don't think that you can extend that same caveat to Darvin Ham this season and the roster that was built, even with the injuries that did occur. Would you agree, Tommy?
Yeah.
So I guess our final statement on Darvin Ham is it wasn't all Darvin Ham's fault. Obviously, there were a lot of things that other parties didn't fully do well. There were missteps along the way from all parties, whether that's the injuries on the margins and the front office not stepping up in time to cover those injuries. You know, Christian Wood, Jared Vanderbilt come to mind. They never filled that hole and never filled that void. Using the MLE on Gabe Vincent, one could argue that it could have been spent on somebody better. Everybody shares a portion of the blame pie this season. But at the end of the day, and like we mentioned in our last podcast, Darvin Ham's inability to adjust on the fly and continue to make the same mistakes he was making last year in the same series against the same opponent in the first round, in which we were pretty much in every game in the last 5 minutes of every game, and it came down to poor coaching decisions. I think that's why you can more confidently point the finger at Darvin Ham and at least come to the conclusion that we need to move on for the betterment of everybody. And not the least of which, Darvin Ham just didn't connect with his players well, all right? We all know the stories. We all know the prevailing narrative here. It's not a narrative, but we know that Darvin Ham's biggest deficiency this year was the excuses, his lack of accountability, and him relying on expiring contract, veteran minimum, taxpayer MLE, BAE players over the players that the Lakers invested in. So with that said, Tommy, as we shift our gaze towards who the next Lakers head coach is, yeah, talk to me about your apprehension and kind of what you're looking for in the next Lakers head coach, because this is, I think, what, we've had 8 Lakers head coaches in the last decade or the last 14 years or so. The only one who was really able to stick was Phil Jackson. Yeah, how are you feeling about this search? Arguably, this is the most important decision of the Lakers offseason because of the barren free agency market and the lack of, I don't know, the lack of ability that the Lakers have to really make a big splash. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this upcoming head coaching search?
So I think, as we've discussed like many times, I don't, you know, I think you and I both don't feel that the roster is that far off, or, you know, we both feel like it's not that far off, right? So I think with Ham, it's like, or Ham's successor, it really is like a super, super important decision because, I don't know if folks have probably read Shams's article at this point, like talking about, he goes into detail about like, you know, other than that 10 and when we lost 10 out of 12 games after the in-season tournament, other than that stretch, we were like on a 52 win pace. You know, during that 12-13 game skid, we used six different starting lineups. I mean, it's just like crazy, right? And we only were down two players during that stretch, by the way, D'Angelo Russell and Gabe Vincent. So like, and D'Angelo Russell only missed a portion of that stretch. Gabe obviously missed the whole thing. So it's like, I guess like when we went from Luke to Vogel, right? It was like, we clearly were like, okay, we hired Luke for a rebuilding team. We're not rebuilding anymore, and he hasn't gotten there as a coach. And which, by the way, we were right about that, right? It's like every coaching firing gets criticized for some reason at the time by these like media people who just like to clown on certain franchises for whatever reason. But that was years ago, and Luke has still not been hired to be like a head coach again. And it took him like a couple years to even get an assistant role again. You know, Frank Vogel, like, he was sort of, then we went to him and it was veteran, you know, he was a veteran and he really worked well with that roster that we sort of fell into after the AD trade. But that was sort of like, you know, he sort of showed himself in the following couple of seasons that, you know, he was not really able to adapt. He was almost like too set in his ways. So it was like an overcorrection, right? And then I think with Ham, we tried to like kind of bridge those two, like bring in a new voice that had been around the league. I think he had been an assistant for 10, 15 years, something like that. Obviously with the Hawks, with the Bucks, high level assistant on, you know, coaching high level teams. But, you know, at the same time had never been a head coach. So like he could bring in a fresh voice. He seemed to be like, you know, in the mold of like these types of guys who can relate to like the players on the team, which was viewed as a positive given how like sort of Vogel was unable to do that. And so I think the result of all of this though, is that we've sort of exposed ourselves as a franchise as having like no idea, right? It's just like our talent assessment meter is just like broken when it comes to coaches. And so I'm excited that Ham is on the way out, but I'm extremely, extremely kind of anxious to see what's going to happen here. I think if, you know, and we'll get into maybe some more specifics, so I don't want to get too far ahead, but I think for me, an ideal candidate would be someone who has had sustained success. I'm okay with a veteran coach, but I don't want necessarily a retread, especially retreads that have been like in and out of the league the past couple of years, which there are a few of those guys like kind of floating around. So, you know, if a current coach in the playoffs gets fired, we'll get into, you know, specific current coach in the playoffs gets fired, I would, you know, be open to looking at some of those guys. Though, like, you know, obviously many of those guys are not going to get fired because they're doing very well with their teams, but you know, I would keep the search open for that. I would look at some veteran, you know, there are obviously Bud and there are like some championship head coaches out there. I would consider that, but I don't know. It's so hard to say because it's like, what do? Do we go with another assistant who's never been a head coach before and try to load up the staff with former head coaches? Do we go with a former head coach and also still load up the staff with, like, you know, it seems like these guys are willing to pay. And I think, you know, you and I were texting about this offline, but the rumors around this coaching staff have like heavily, heavily suggested, which is clearly messaging from the team, that the team is willing to spend on a coach. And if you remember, like, Ty Lue last time, he had a birthday party with a Lakers cake, but like he wasn't able to get a deal with us, right? Because we weren't willing to pay him what was market for a championship coach at that time. So like the rumors about Ty Lue potentially being on the way out, the rumors about the Lakers willing to pay for a coach, it all seems to sort of be converging, right? And it sort of makes me feel like that's maybe the direction we're heading. And so like, I'd still like to load up his staff with some, you know, younger assistants with fresh ideas, but you know, something like that seems like a good start, but I don't know, dude. I'm anxious because we always mess this up. So,
well, here's why I'm anxious too, because if you look at the off season ahead, you wonder, have the Lakers learned enough in LeBron James and AD's tenure throughout the last 5 or 6 years to finally sort of find that perfect gray area where we don't overreact or course correct to the last season, right? You want like a happy medium where the Lakers are able to assess and contextualize the situation correctly. And I'm glad that they were able to look at this season and swiftly make a decision on Darvin Ham and realize where things went wrong, because it's very important that we do this earlier rather than later, because, you know, the draft is coming up, free agency is coming up, decisions with LeBron James, D'Angelo Russell are coming up, and you want to have a coach in place before all of those things happen who can start to set the fundamental and foundational culture of the team and what the season is going to look like. That's a lot to do in the next month, you know? But I'm particularly anxious because whether it's the coaching search or how we handle this roster rejiggering with regards to whether we go with a marginal upgrade on the edges or another third star, I'm just worried we're going to choose the exact wrong things. Or if we pick like the right type of coach, we'll go with a three-star build that derails things. I'm worried that we're once again not going to fire on all cylinders where we need to. And it's going to be one of those, if it's not one thing, it's another, you know, where maybe we get the roster build right and we eschew a Trae Young third star build and go and round out our edges perfectly. But then we pick the wrong coach, you know? So there's a lot that rides on this offseason. I haven't totally wrapped my head around it yet, but I guess from your perspective, the qualities that you were describing out of the next head coach that you would like to see the Lakers go after, you were talking about Tyronn Lue. So I guess let's start there, because when Frank Vogel was hired, the Lakers surrounded him with almost a full arsenal of assistant head coaches who had been former head coaches. I think it was like Jason Kidd. Was Lionel Hollins there? Lionel Hollins. I forget who rounded out that staff, but I know they were the premier former head coaches who rounded out Frank Vogel's staff because they wanted to give him... They didn't necessarily trust Frank Vogel 100%. And so they wanted to give him the full coaching support behind him. And then obviously after we fired Frank Vogel, the Lakers got a little bit of flack for not allowing Vogel to, you know, hire his own coaching staff, right? And so because of that, they, I don't know if it's an overreactionary course correction, but when they hired Darvin Ham, they allowed him to do whatever he wanted with his assistant coaching staff. Now, where do you think they're going to land here? Do you think they're going to go with a mix and match sort of thing, where if it is an established head coach who has the pedigree and deserves the benefit of the doubt like Tyronn Lue, do you think they'll just let him do whatever he wants with his assistant coaching staff? Or if they go with a younger head coach, a less established head coach, like, say, J.J. Redick, do you think then they will do what they did with Frank Vogel? How would you kind of jigsaw and configure this thing with regards to the different types of coaching candidates out there?
I think they're going to go fully, if I had to guess as of right now, I think they're going to go fully in the Vogel mode, which means I think they're going to hire a veteran coach and maybe not force him, but like strongly suggest the some veteran assistants that he might consider hiring. Even Lue. Like for Adelman, certainly, if they went with somebody like that who was a, you know, unproven assistant coach.
You mean David Adelman out of the, where is he?
Yeah, yeah. David Adelman is currently with the Nuggets. And he's Rick Adelman's son and has been a top assistant for Malone, right? So I think they're going to probably, I think you're right, right? That after the Vogel thing, they kind of maybe over course corrected and said, okay, like maybe some of the disconnect with the coaching staff in that situation was we got too involved and we tried to tell this coach who to use. And so I think that's why all of us, frankly, right, were surprised when we hired Ham and then we started seeing the names come out for his assistants. And it was like, you know, Chris Gent, who that was a good hire, right? I mean, he is like a known assistant, handy. People didn't really bat an eye. But then there's two other seats, right? And rather than taking former, you know, head coaches as assistants, like, you know, the Bucks, after they got rid of Bud Staff, right, they took Terry Stotts as like a lead assistant. Like, rather than doing something like that, he just took sort of like, you know, unproven guys who were, he was like friendly with, right? And so that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with like wanting to work with your friends, especially if you trust them at that level. But it just didn't really make sense for this roster and for LeBron James and for, you know, what we were trying to accomplish to bring in a completely rookie head coach with like no support. So I think it's probably going to be viewed as an overcorrection, but I guess like, I honestly, in the course of recording this, because obviously the news is so recent, but all this talk about how the Lakers are suddenly willing to like open the pocketbook for the right coach, it feels like it's all sort of converging on this Ty Lue thing. And, you know, I think the other names that you're hearing, I don't know, the Lakers always want to give the impression that they're running like a comprehensive search process. But if it comes down to like Ty Lue and Terry Stotts and Kenny Atkinson, and then like a pretty much other than Stotts and Atkinson, you're looking at exclusively first time head coaches or what would be first time head coaches. I think they're going to land on Ty Lue pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Obviously, I think Ty Lue is our preferred candidate. We can right the wrongs of the past and redeem that very sad Lakers birthday celebration picture, which lives in infamy. What do you think about if we hire Ty Lue and then do one of those? I mean, they'd have to run this past Lue as well. But could you see them doing this mix and match sort of deal where they hire Ty Lue, they allow him to hire some of his preferred assistant coaches, and then also give him a young assistant coach that he can sort of groom, like J.J. Redick or Rajon Rondo, so that you have someone sort of, through osmosis, getting some of Ty Lue's coaching brain in the process. Like, do you think that's a possibility, or?
I think that's a possibility. I feel like the Redick and Rondo stuff is a little bit of smoke. I mean, it depends on how serious like Redick is about getting into this coaching business, because it's like it's a significant lifestyle change from what he's currently doing. And frankly, he's probably making as much or more doing his like silly podcast, right, than he would be as an assistant. Assistant coaches are not necessarily super, super high paid. I think several of them make less than $1 million. You know what I mean? So it's like, not that that's like an insignificant amount of money, but like JJ Redick's podcast is super popular. So he probably is making like that much right now. So it's like, I feel like that's kind of smoke. I feel like he maybe would jump for a head coaching role. Maybe he views this as like an opportunity to like get his name out there in like a really big market and be part of like a prominent staff, and obviously living in LA doesn't hurt. So I could see that working. I could also see, I mean, to your point, which I think this is probably maybe more what you're getting at, it's like if we are able to get Ty Lue for this like end of the LeBron AD era, which is going to be the next 2 to 3 years, as we kind of know at this point, and we can groom Redick or Rondo for the next 2 to 3 years, it sort of makes that transition out of the LeBron AD Ty Lue era kind of seamless, and it doesn't feel as much like we're starting from scratch as we have been like three times in the last 6 years or whatever. So I think that would be helpful.
Yeah. Okay. So with regards to Ty Lue, before we take it to break and I guess talk about some of the other candidates, what, outside of obviously his accomplishments and his pedigree, we know full well, you know, the complaints that Clippers fans have had with regards to Ty Lue. It's actually much of the same complaints that, you know, fans have had of Darvin Ham or Frank Vogel. I guess in every small fan circle and pod, there are always, you know, there are always going to be complaints hurled towards the coach. I mean, you see it with the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr. But what about Ty Lue do you think, excites you or will help bridge this last few years of LeBron James' career? I mean, maybe the answer is obvious, but yeah, what, like, why is Ty Lue your number one priority?
Ty Lue has just, like, proven time and time again, right, that he can coach at a high level. I mean, we can all kind of make fun of the Clippers for putting together these, like, super teams that have never been able to make it. I mean, like, have made it past the first round, like, one time or whatever, but, you know, the injuries are injuries. The fact is this guy makes the playoffs every year with the Clippers. Like, he, you know, the Clippers are always in the conversation to be a top seed. He's, like, has a long history of showing, like, elite adjustments in game to lead to, like, these huge swings. And I think the biggest one is he already knows what it's like to coach LeBron James, which I think for a lot of coaches is a huge adjustment, because you can come in with whatever system you want, but LeBron James is bigger than most systems. And I don't mean that in, like, a, you know, he's a ball hog or he's just going to do whatever he wants. I just mean, like, whatever you're trying to run, sometimes him just jamming it down the opponent's throat is going to be more efficient, and he's going to do that sometimes. So, you know, Ty Lue knows how to build an offense around that. He knows how to build an offense around LeBron playing out of the post, you know, hitting 3-point shooters. I just think that's going to be, like, a really, really seamless adjustment for him. And LeBron likes him and respects him. And, you know, frankly, that's, like, it's trickle down. It's like if LeBron and AD are bought in, all mm-hmm. the other guys are going to buy in too. So those are all things I kind of view as benefits. And Ty Lue, you know, he's super experienced, but he's not so old. That, you know, I strongly suspect that he will bring in a lot of fresh ideas, especially for this organization that feels like a little bit behind in, you know, with respect to things like analytics and data tracking and all that stuff. Like, this, you know, Ty Lue spent the last however long it's been, 6 years or so with the Clippers, and they're kind of like leaders with that kind of stuff, because mm-hmm. Ballmer is famously willing to spend. So, you know, he could bring that kind of knowledge in too. It's like, you know, this is how we used to track plays, and this is how we used to do this over there. You know, so it's like that kind of stuff helps too. And so, I don't know, I'm kind of talking myself more and more into it the more we get into this.
Well, you forget the number one criteria for Ty Lue. He is in the family. He is a former Laker. He played with the Lakers. And so we can bring it around full circle. And yeah, he was part of that 2016 or 2017 Cavs championship team that beat the Golden State Warriors, right? They were down 1-3. He's been in high pressure situations and gotten himself out of it, gotten himself and his team out of it. That requires a level of precision in the clutch, Tommy, that Darvin Ham never showed this season. And as LeBron continues to age, no one knows LeBron better than Ty Lue with regards to what he needs and how Lue can potentially build the roster alongside LeBron to support him and AD. And he knows how to deal with if the Lakers, God forbid, go for the three-star build again. Ty Lue is experienced with that, not only from his days with the Cavs with LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving, but obviously with the Clippers as well, with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and James Harden. And yeah, you know, he's also done a commendable job with the Clippers in spite of how many flameouts they've had in the playoffs over the last couple of years, dealing with the inconsistencies of an in-and-out revolving door sort of roster that always has to account for one or two or all of their stars being out, right? His season is always typically the most uneven season that a head coach can deal with, and he typically doesn't make many excuses. So, yeah, Ty Lue would be number one on our priority for next Lakers head coach. Why don't we take it to break? When we return, let's look at some of the other candidates and maybe discuss the pros and cons of going a different approach. So we will catch you guys after the turn.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so we are back. One last note that I forgot to point out about Ty Lue is that for those who care about where D'Angelo Russell may end up, whether he's a Laker or not, Ty Lue in the past and as recently as this past season has been very highly complimentary of D'Angelo Russell. I believe in one of his press conferences he was being asked about D'Lo and maybe the Lakers' handling of him, and Ty Lue just very matter-of-factly was like, "What the hell are we talking about? This guy's a good basketball player. What are we doing here?" And, you know, when you hear sort of like practical statements like that, it feels like a breath of fresh air when you're in the midst of this like gaslighting marathon that the Lakers and Darvin Ham have been putting on the last 2 years, you know? So hopefully, I think one of my biggest criteria for next head coach, Tommy, is just someone who doesn't talk out of their ass. You know, like, I feel like even Frank Vogel was a little bit too political in the way that he conveyed things. And maybe that's always going to be the case with the Lakers, but I don't know. I feel like Phil Jackson just always spoke his mind. And one of the things that I actually liked about Luke Walton is he was still young enough that it felt like he wasn't an ultimate puppet and that he still spoke his mind. He really was able to connect with the players and really stood up for guys like Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, that young core team. Luke Walton wasn't a great X's and O's coach, but who knows what would have happened, like you mentioned, if he was surrounded and flanked by other experienced head coaches who could make up for his tactical deficiencies. Because one aspect of Luke Walton's that I really like was that he wasn't out of touch with the players. He was someone who could connect with them on a deeper level. He was a player's coach. I don't know where we got this idea that Darvin Ham was a player's coach. Maybe because when he was an assistant coach with the Bucks, he jived well with the players, I guess. But the more and more we got to know Darvin Ham, and at least the responses of the Lakers players to him, the more and more we saw, like, these dudes don't like him. You know, those quotes that came out of that most recent article, you know, after the Lakers got eliminated, where it said the Lakers team pretty much went on their second half run in spite of Darvin Ham, almost to spite him because of what he did in the first half of the season when he didn't bring the core unit together. When you hear stuff like that, I think finding a coach who can really level with the players has unexpectedly become one of my priorities, or one of the boxes that I would like the coach to check off. Obviously, he needs to jive with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but I think, like you said, that's a trickle down effect with the rest of the players. And so I guess this is a good segue into JJ Redick, because you see a guy like JJ Redick who's young, is a former recent player, and you get kind of PTSD and shades of Luke Walton. And while I think that's one scenario where if you hire a guy like JJ Redick, he could absolutely flame out, as I mentioned, I did like aspects of Luke Walton. And if you can find a potential head coach like JJ Redick, who also has the tactical X's and O's to back his players' coachness up, I don't necessarily think that would be an entirely awful thing to have for your next head coach, provided that, again, you flank said head coach, said young head coach, whether it's J.J. Redick, a guy like Chris Quinn from the Miami Heat, who is the longest assistant coach who's been tenured on the Heat alongside Eric Spoelstra, or David Adelman of the Nuggets. As long as you can flank those guys with the proper support system of other former head coaches, I feel like with the team that we're trying to construct, Tommy, where I think we need to get younger, actually, continue to get younger, not guys who are 22 and 23, but continue this mold of surrounding LeBron James and Anthony Davis with these 25, 27-year-olds, on a team like that, it's important to have a coach who isn't talking out of their ass, you know? So, yeah, what are your thoughts on that angle? And talk about J.J. Redick and what he could potentially bring, and maybe your worries about him as well.
On your talking out of his ass point, I like, this is the reason why for the last decade I've, you know, Mark Jackson has like not been able to get a job post getting fired by the Warriors. Yeah. And notwithstanding the fact that for like 6 to 7 years after he got fired, he was like, his name came up in every single coaching search because it was the same stuff. He had his like, you know, you've described as like a youth pastor sort of like catchphrases that he goes to. And I think that's like super, super accurate. And those types of things come out in Darvin Ham too. Those types of things come out in Doc too. Although Doc, as he's become a little bit older, has gotten a little bit more bitter and kind of defensive. But like that, like he was kind of like that too. And I just feel like there's this brand of head coach that comes in and everywhere they go, it's the same problems, but they say the right words. And so they keep getting hired. To your point on J.J. Redick, I don't view him as that guy. I think J.J. Redick is super, super smart. You can tell by just listening to the podcast, right? And and I know that's maybe silly to say. I guess ultimately my feelings on all of this are, at the end of the day, talent wins in the NBA, but you need someone to clean up the margins. You need someone, like, really the coach's value comes in, like, those last couple minutes of close games in the playoffs, right? Or even during the regular season, but certainly in the playoffs. And who can put us in a position to win in those moments? It's not going to be the guys who come out with, like, the platitudes and are, like, all talk and no substance. It's going to be the guys who are, like, really dug into the X's and O's. And so the reason I'm not totally disgusted by the J.J. Redick rumors, although he would like really need a strong support staff around him, is because I think the X's and O's are going to be there with him. And I think he, you know, as a very well-respected former player, I think it, you know, can be blunt with some of these guys and in ways that other people can't necessarily.
Yeah. And if you even just look at the type of player he was, like, he was part of the tail end of ushering in this new era of analytics and three-point shooting. And he himself should know, as a prolific three-point shooting role player who had to rely on stars to get him open looks, the right screens, the right sets to get him open looks. Obviously, he was an amazing movement shooter, but I just think those qualities, and when you hear him talk to LeBron James about Spain pick and rolls, setting all these different off-ball screen actions to get guys open looks, and they're talking about the nitty-gritty aspects of the 13th man on a team and what that player can provide and what has to happen in order for this type of person to succeed, and you see them sort of run the gamut of all the roles on a team. And you can tell this stuff is not just like fluff or surface level type stuff, you know? And I just like that it's a fresh new voice, but a fresh new voice that can actually back up his talk because he just played recently in these types of systems and can level with the players on these sorts of terminologies, you know, and these sorts of sets that they run. And I'm very confident that if we get a guy like J.J. Redick, we won't have to beg for out of timeout plays to be run for our best shooters. You know, like, how long did it take for us to finally start running sets for our best 3-point shooter in D'Angelo Russell? It took like midway through the season, and we were pretty much just relying on D'Angelo Russell's shot making, pull up jump shot making to get him those threes. It wasn't until the second half when we actually started running like pin down screens and Spain actions for him to curl out of like double drag action and then get an open three. You know, with J.J. Redick, He knows for himself how important it is to have these tertiary margin role players to support the superstar because he was that player, you know? And so those are some of the things that I'm like kind of intrigued by with a guy like JJ Redick, and not necessarily, obviously I'd still be sort of anxious and apprehensive bringing in a guy like this, but you do get some benefits if this guy ends up actually popping, you know? I just think it's going to, like you mentioned, it's going to take the Lakers really, really being diligent in their vetting of not only JJ Redick, but the assistant coaches that he surrounds, that they surround JJ Redick with. Because, again, if you strike gold with one of these young guys, then you don't have to worry about a coaching search for the next 8 to 10 years, hopefully for the next decade plus, you know? I feel like the Lakers have been desperately searching for that type of player. I'm not saying JJ Redick is it, but that is the silver lining or the hope that comes with getting a young coach like Redick, right? So anything else to add on Redick, or anything else to add about any of the other candidates? We're hearing rumors about Mike Budenholzer, Kenny Atkinson, by the way, if Kenny Atkinson gets hired, I think D'Angelo Russell's gone. Apparently, they didn't have a very good relationship towards the end of that Brooklyn Nets tenure. But yeah, anything else to say about the coaching or JJ Redick or anything else like that?
Yeah, I just hope that we don't waste too much time. I think to your initial point, like, the draft is in a month and a half, ish. You know, the free agency starts very shortly after that. We have 3 first-round draft picks that are tradable, but you know, obviously the 2024 pick immediately loses value. You know, it once we make it, just because it's like, it's not like it's the number one pick. It's like with a consensus number, it's a number 17 pick. When you're in that range, you're sort of, if you pick a point guard, you know, that's not going to have value if you're trying to trade this pick to like Golden State. You know, just making an example, right? But, you know, so I think they're going to play the, you know, we need to be patient game. I think they're putting a lot of names out there, but I just don't feel like any of them are that realistic. And I feel like we're going to converge on Ty Lue. That's just honestly, if I had to make my guess right now, I think like Bud, it's going to be hard to convince that guy to come in here and replace his guy who just got fired. And Bud, it seems like a pretty seamless transition for him to just go to Phoenix with their big three. And they've already said they're going to use their 2 draft picks that they have remaining to try to get other players too. So I think that makes sense, right, for him to go there. I think like a lot of these other assistants who, you know, are gaining some hype and their names are being floated around, I just don't think that that's going to work on an AD team. I think to your point, like with you were making, AD and LeBron team, but to the point you were making with JJ Redick, like if we hit on him, it could have huge upside. Like that's always the upside with going with one of these assistants is you could be first and then you have your coach for the next 15 years. And that's worked for a lot of rebuilding teams, right? Problem is we're trying to win a championship in the next 2 years. So it's going to be hard to justify to LeBron and AD that like David Adelman is your new head coach. And they're just going to be like, who are you? You know what I mean? So I think that's challenging. And so to me, it's like Ty Lue kind of checks all the boxes, including the Laker family one that you mentioned earlier. So
if it's not Ty Lue, let's say they whiff on Ty Lue and Steve Ballmer gives Ty Lue $20 million because he can do that, Tommy. Who then is your next priority? Is it, because for me, I think it's JJ Redick for everything that you just mentioned. It's not going to be David Adelman. LeBron James probably doesn't have a relationship with him. He's on the Nuggets, whatever. LeBron James has been grooming JJ Redick for this. And at this stage, you're talking about what's the best way to bridge the gap with regards to the future, the Lakers' future without LeBron, dealing with younger teammates who you want to surround LeBron James and Anthony Davis with so they're not shouldering all of the burden. So in my opinion, you in order to bridge that gap of all of those things that I just said, but also trying to help LeBron contend, at this stage of his career, I feel like, and this may sound insane, I feel like you just want someone that's buddy-buddy with LeBron James and that he can 100% get on board with.
I think that's right.
So is JJ Redick your like next choice, or are you still trying to somebody more experienced, but someone who LeBron, I don't know who that is besides JJ Redick.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? Is like whoever it is, if it's not going to be Ty Lue, it's going to be whoever LeBron and AD sign off on. Because those guys, again, like I said about the trickle down, like if those guys aren't bought in, it doesn't matter, right? And we know that LeBron was happy about the Darvin Ham hiring, you know, initially, right? So he's going to have to sign off, and I just find that it's more likely he signs off on his own guy as opposed to Adelman. Even though Adelman, like, has technically more experience, you know, he's a little bit older, he's the son of a coach, etc., you know, has worked with Malone closely. LeBron knows Redick. It seems crazy that that's where we would go. And I think if we went that route, you know, I think it would really be like Terry Stotts, you know, like pretty much every former head coach who's available this summer. Like, we'll probably try to see if Vogel will pick up our call to see if we can load up his assistant staff. But I think I think Redick has a decent chance if it's not Ty Lue.
Yeah, I think at this point, I can't believe we've gotten to this place, because J.J. Redick is a name that just literally popped up a week ago because I guess the Charlotte Hornets were going to interview him for their head coaching position. But yeah, I guess it's no coincidence that LeBron James and J.J. Redick just started this Mind the Game podcast. And I guess if Redick becomes our head coach, we're going to see the death of two different podcasts, Mind the Game and Old Man and the Three. Although, what if they keep those podcasts going while LeBron James and J.J. Redick are, you know, scheming together on the sidelines? That would be hilarious. Anyways, with that said, these are just our early impressions, our very raw first thoughts following Darvin Ham's firing. Sorry they weren't as collected as we probably hoped they would be. But yeah, for right now, go get Ty Lue. If not Ty Lue, really see what J.J. Redick has to offer and the type of support system that you can surround him with, and let's go from there, because yeah, there is no time to waste with this offseason. It is a very big offseason ahead for the Lakers, and yeah, for now though, we are unhampered, and yeah, the lessons and wisdoms are over, the marathon is done, it's time to move forward with some dick. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, we will catch you guys next time. Tommy, I will see you later.
Peace.
Laters.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.